Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Every year, our church, Deula Independent Baptist Church, Deula is our section of the town, henceforth Deula Independent Baptist Church. We have a theme verse or verses and a theme that we preach and teach on throughout the year. Of course, we plug in other teachings, a series or two that we're doing. Like I said, my father and I, we share the preaching responsibilities, but we also give some, not all of it, but enough of it to some of the young men and some of the deacons. They do prayer meetings. We have church Sunday morning, of course, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, which includes junior church. And then there's a Bible club Sunday afternoon and youth meeting Sunday afternoon and a new converts class Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening church, Tuesday, Monday afternoon men's meeting, Tuesday night prayer meeting, Wednesday night Bible Institute, Thursday night Bible study at church, Friday night Bible Institute, and Saturdays usually two Saturdays a month is deacons meeting, one Saturday a month is members meeting. And then the fourth Saturday of every month, we have open air meeting. So every evening, just about, there's something going on in the ministry. And so this has been a nice 2 weeks vacation for me. I got to go back to work this week. All right. We have on Saturday, June the 8th, while you guys are breaking down your tents and throwing your fishing poles in the pond because you didn't catch anything all night long, we'll be preparing for a Bible Institute graduation. 18 men are graduating this year on Saturday, June the 8th. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which would be 2 o'clock here. Hopefully, it'll be at our church. The last 2 years, we've borrowed another church in town just because our yard was full, our churchyard was full of water. And you couldn't have a graduation of 30 graduates and then all their family members coming in. And then where do they walk around and take pictures or just visit? You know. Hopefully, it's been pretty dry the last 2 or 3 months. Opposite of here, so I am praying the Lord to keep it dry until after on June the 9th he can just send the rain, okay? Up till June the 8th it'll stay dry, and I'll be coming back June 14th or 15th, somewhere right in there. Got to finish out the school year and get things ready for the new school year to start the third week of August, because we won't go back until mid September. After we put Ethan into college the last week of August, we'll be back up here for about 2 weeks, and then we fly back to Haiti. So I want to get things ready and set up for the Bible Institute. We have most of the men that teach, well, I shouldn't say most anymore, but we have 6 national men that teach alongside my father and I teaching the Bible Institute. We have 3 different centers of the Bible college, if you want to call it, and training these men. 145 men are enrolled right now, with 18 graduating. In the next 3 weeks, I'll be interviewing some prospective students to come begin in August to replace those that are graduating. That may sound a little bit odd to you that we interview them, but you have to understand, they'd rather stay in school and study for the rest of their life so that they can have an education, they can have a diploma. That's the general consensus of the country. We're training men to be servants, amen, not guys to have diplomas on their wall at home, but servants in their local church. Training them for 5 years, one night a week, 2 hours a week for 5 years. And then when they're finished, they do get a diploma. We are in the process of being recognized by the state as a Bible college, so that they call it a license. We've decided, even if we never got a license, we would still keep teaching. It's just it's something with that education mindset. It's not no control that the government has over us. Recognized. I guess in the States, a college that is accredited, okay? You could kind of put it on a parallel with that. Our Bible college, it'd be sort of accredited where the men could go become representatives of the government to act to be able to marry somebody, legally marry somebody. And it's a process there, and I'll be working on that too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you'd stand, please. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. This is our theme verses. Actually, verses 1 through 12 are our theme verses for this year. But we're not going to read all 12. Well, we will be looking at all 12, but we won't be reading them right now. Verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Skip down, if you would, please, to the end of verse 10. It says, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Tonight, I want to encourage you to be better. Be better. Thank you. May be seated. If I throw a few Creole words out there, all right, forgive me. I haven't preached in English I did last Sunday night, but before that, since I left here last November, I haven't preached in English. I always preach in Creole. So be better. You that were in the military may be able to finish this line. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is the best. My dad, when he was spent 2 years in the Army, that's what they did when they every morning when they were doing their PT, sounding off. Good, better, best. We need to strive to be better. Now, I'm not some of them preachers that just preach, feel good, and be better. We're going to look how to be better according to the Word of God here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I like here what Paul said. First, he said, we beseech you, brethren. He was talking to Christians. But he said, beseech. Now, I take that as to, that's a deep please. How many of you kids, a few of you younger kids in here, the teenagers may remember this, but yeah, especially when you're younger, you want mom or dad to do something to you or do something for you. Please, pretty please, pretty please with a cherry on top. You know, we had some, ice cream sundae this afternoon for dessert there with our family. And some of them had the cherry on top, all right? Please, pretty please. Paul is really beseeching them, pretty please, be better. I exhort you by the Lord Jesus, by his authority, Matthew 28, 20. His authority and for his sake, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify what? Our Father, which is in heaven. Not to glorify us.
That's right.
Our goal ought to be to live so that we can have a name, but to live so that the Lord can be glorified.
Amen. Amen.
We're born, we live, we die, and they may forget our name, but not to forget our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Our testimony reflects on his name's sake. We should be better in verses 3 through 8. We should be better at being consecrated. Now, how should we treat our bodies? Look in verses 3 through 5 with me, if you would. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his, what's the word there? Vessel in sanctification and honor. not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. We are set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. We're set apart for the Lord's service. Our church, the Willing Independent Baptist Church, several years ago established two daughter churches, if you would say. Two of our young men from our church graduated from the Bible College, started Grace Baptist Church, one just across the mountain ridge, and one, it's about 12 miles or a 50-minute drive. You take the pick how you want to describe the distance, okay? And in our Grace Baptist Church that's 12 miles away, we have one of our young people that just started Bible College, I think last November. He's been in there almost two trimesters. He was really active in Bible clubs. He'd helped in the youth department there. And he was the right-hand man to Brother Etienne. Well, like I said earlier when we were sharing about Haiti, every time that either myself or my dad is about to go on furlough, the Lord puts his foot out and does something. And he tripped up this young man. And right after I left, the church had to put him on sanction. And he's preparing to get married this fall. His dad sent me a copy of the letter. We had to make him step out of Bible College. Young people, our bodies are not our own. Adults, our bodies are not our own. We're sanctified. We're set apart for the service of the Lord, not for self-gratification, not for anything we want, but for what the Lord wants. Not only are we to treat our bodies as sanctified bodies, but we're to treat our bodies as honorable. I have the privilege of not knowing him well, but knowing the president of Haiti, President Jovenel Moïse. He was a businessman. I can parallel President Trump with President Jovenel because they're both businessmen and they both have the business mind. President Jovenel, before he was president, he started the Culligan plant there in Port-au-Prince, and it's still going strong. In fact, my dad, before we moved to Haiti, he gave the prayer of benediction at the inauguration of that Culligan water plant, a water treatment plant, the first water treatment plant there in Port-au-Prince. And it's still going strong. He had an auto parts business that his wife ran, which we ordered a lot of our parts for our truck through the capital city. She had the means to get it up to Port-au-Prince. And so we have the privilege of knowing them. But even though I know them a little bit more than other people that don't know him, if I was to go see him when I'm in Port-au-Prince on Thursday, am I going to go just dressed like any old way? I'm probably going to go better dressed than this. I'm going to see the president of the country. You know, we are children of the King, the King of Kings. And not just when we come to church, but when we're outside of church, we're to be honorable, presentable. So we need to be better at being consecrated, not only with how we treat our bodies, but how we treat our brethren. Look in verses 6 to 8. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. How we treat our brothers, to their face, Ethan's kind of our philosophical in the family, even more so than I am. But we've had this discussion How do you talk to someone about someone behind their back? Well, actually, that's to their face. But, you know, think about the wording, behind their back. Okay, that's to their face. You know, it takes a little bit to think that through. It's just one of those expressions we use. But how we talk about them when they're not around, how we talk to them when they are around, how we treat them. I don't need to go into detail. I think you know what I'm trying to say. How we treat our brethren.
Amen. Yeah. Help us.
We may not be the same blood physically, but spiritually we have the same Father.
Amen. That's good.
And if anyone should be treated better than anybody else, it should be our own kin. Be better at being consecrated, but also be better at being considerate. Verses 9 and 10 cover this point very well. It says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Being considerate is showing love. And that's taught by the master. Now, if I want to learn how to drive one of those big old tractors, I'm probably... Nothing against you, Brother Gerald, but I'm probably not going to ask you. I'm going to go see Brother Allen. But if I want to learn to drive a Model T, then I'm going to go see Jerry. Because there's a big difference there. Okay? Or if I want to learn how to lay bricks, I'm going to find somebody that is what they do. Well, you know, if we want to know how to love our brothers, we go to God, because God is love.
That's right. That's good. Amen.
And where better to find the words of God than in our Bible?
Amen.
Taught by the master. And love is not just for a select few.
Amen.
Notice verse 10. It says, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." Now, Brother Jim, I know this never happens to you, and I really try not to do it to other big rigs, but when the little bitty sports car, you got about that long before the red light and he jumps in front of you, you just want to lay on that horn and just tap him on the bump a little bit. Maybe even a bit more than a little bit. We're human. We have feelings. We have emotions. But it's what we do with those emotions, what we do with those feelings. Considerate of others. Maybe they're not as smart as you are, Brother Jim. You know? Or any of other of us. How often did your parents know and rock remind you of Ephesians 4:33? Be ye kind one to another. See, they knew it word for word. I that's one of the first verses I learned, because I have a little brother. he follows me. He's 5 years younger than I am. But I was reminded often to be kind to my little brother. Oh, it's easy now to be kind to my big little brother. He's about 6'4". Big fella, so it's easy to be kind to him now. But be ye kind one to another.
Amen.
Be considerate. So Paul here is encouraging us to be better. Be better at being consecrated. We belong to the Lord. Be better at being considerate of others. But be better, verses 11 and 12, at being consistent. Look in verses 11 and 12. "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. I like what James says in chapter 1 and verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not some of them, not most of them, but all his ways. Double-minded. You can't make up your mind. You know people like that. They're so emotional. Man, they're like, they make you seasick.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we need some consistency in our lives. You know, our children, as parents, the kids at school, you teachers out there, the people you work with, they need to know that they can depend on you. Part of the problem, because I'm outside looking in, I can see this. In Haiti, as well as here in the United States, a big problem with what our children are going through is the instability. Their parents don't really care for them. I'm talking generally here, okay? I'm not talking specifically about any of y'all, but generally as a whole, United States of America, the parents are going after things and working. They provide the money for their kids, but they don't provide the time. And the teachers, they're just there to clock in and clock out. That's nothing against you. I know we've got some teachers in here this evening, okay? I'm talking as a whole. We that have our foundation on the Word of God, we have a reason to teach children and to teach our children and others' children and those at work. I remember when I worked at NAL, I spent 5 years working at NAL, and I was working here, and when we were over there on Worthy Street, working 6 days a week at NAL, before I was ordained even, and it got to the point, I tried to be consistent. Oh, you had your good days and bad days, but when people would come to me with questions, the answer was, well, the Bible says, you know, consistency. The children in the United States and in Haiti need to know that the pastor is going to be the same way Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. And I'm talking about myself because we are in not quite yet, but it has slowly been happening, transitioning the pastorship of Deule Independent Baptist Church over to me. I believe it'll be either late this year or maybe early next year that we'll work through that and figure that out, because not just my dad standing up and saying, okay, this is your new pastor, but setting a precedence, because one day one of them will be the pastor, and then after them, someone else. And I really like the fact that these young men that are the preacher boys in our church now, they were kids in junior church when we started junior church. And now they're young men, leaders in our youth group, preaching in church services. It's just wonderful being able to train them. Now, they need to see that the pastor is consistent. They need to see that their Sunday school teacher is consistent. They need to see that the adults that they're looking up to are consistent.
Amen.
Not wishy-washy. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many of you would love to live in a house that has an unstable foundation? I'm glad that October the 6th of 2018, we had a good foundation, because the earthquake, and not the one in 10, but an earthquake struck near Port-au-Prince. And I was at my desk, and Carrie was at her desk, and Katie was in the shower, and Ethan was, I forget what Ethan was doing, but our house shook. And Carrie got up from her desk, We ran out for the front door, but it was about 8 o'clock at night. Everything was locked. My keys weren't on me. By the time we got the keys, it was all done. Okay? But we sat on the porch for an hour, and we still had our cell phones, so we were calling church members. My dad, my mom was still in the States at the time. My dad came over from his house. We live in the same 4-acre property, and we sat on the porch for an hour, and we were calling church members and checking on them, and everybody was okay. Had some damage in some homes. We have some plaster cracking, but there was a bookshelf right beside Carrie's desk. It wasn't that tall, just 4 shelves high, and it fell over on the chair that she had been sitting on. So we're glad we had got up and at least got to the front door if we couldn't get out of the front door. But I'm glad that we had a stable foundation.
Amen.
Especially when you have a concrete roof.
Yeah.
You know. The new generation adults, the generation that's coming up. Blake, thanks for leading the singing. I was privileged to lead the singing here many, many years ago. Now it's your turn. Keep it up, all right? The more you do it, the easier it will become.
Amen.
And that's for anybody in your line of service for the Lord. The more you do it, the easier it will become. Now be better at being consistent. Consistent in your work. Paul talks about your own hands, what you do day in and day out. Be consistent. Not only that, but in your walk. Paul says to walk honestly. Walk honestly.
Yes.
You know, I don't have a pocket knife on me now because the last 2 trips we made to the States, I'd buy a pocket knife and then from here to the airport, I'd say, you know, I'm going to need a pocket knife on the way somehow. So I'll just leave it in my pocket. Before we check bags in, I'll unzip and shove it in there and check the bag. Lo and behold, Pastor, I go through the thing. Beep, beep. Oh, you know. So I either lose it or I spend a lot of money shipping it to an address. So I didn't even pack a... put one of my knives in my suitcase when we came out. So I'm walking. I don't feel totally dressed, Brother Jim. I don't have my sidearm, my pocket knife. But you know what? Pocket knives are something that the Haitian people don't do. But there's a couple young men in our church that are now starting to wear pocket knives because Pastor Benji wears a pocket knife all the time. I mean, that's something small. I even heard of a pastor here in the States that the young men in his Bible college started walking like him. And he said, guys, don't walk like me. I walk like this because my back hurts all the time. And they're walking like the president of the college. They're looking at me. They're looking at us. Young people are looking at us. We need to be consistent. Day in and day out. They know if things aren't good at home, they can come see you as a teacher. They know if things aren't good out there, they know they come home because mom and dad are the same way, Sunday through Sunday, year, week after week, month after month, year after year. Consistency in our work, what we do with our hands, and in our walk honestly. So tonight was my Be Better message. We need to be better at being consecrated for the Lord. Be better at being considerate of others. And be better at being consistent in our Christian walk. Let's bow our heads to pray, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, I do thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the theme moving forward that we have this year for Dewula Independent Baptist Church. Thank you for the privilege of preaching tonight at Calvary Baptist Church of Flora. I pray that you would especially take the messages that these dear folks have heard all week long in the spring revival and apply it to their hearts. And may this church grow stronger and move forward for you. Thank you so much for allowing us to minister in Haiti these nearly 16 years. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.